Money Talk. I'm Jesse Torres.
And I'm Aaron Michael Sanchez.
So, Aaron, all right, the Mahjong Group. That was some great stuff.
It was very good. You know, you could tell not only has she progressed as a professional, I saw some of her reporting, and, you know, people think, well, okay, they're great in front of the camera, they're great as reporting, but they underestimate all of the things that it takes to get there. And branding yourself, businesses, especially small businesses, I think that's one of the issues that they have, which is why they only go so far. People don't remember them.
You're right. You're right. And you know, I've been in front of the camera a few times. I've been interviewed both in English and Spanish on foreign casts. And I can tell you that being interviewed is bad enough, but when you have to sort of lead that entire segment, and it's, you know, it's unscripted. I mean, they have maybe some bullet points in their mind, but, you know, most of it is shooting from the hip. And, you know, when you see these folks on TV just flow, just kind of get through that information, you almost forget, you know, that this stuff is not scripted, that it's happening live in many cases right in front of them. But because they're such professionals, they actually are very engaging. And so that was an incredibly engaging interview. And I'm glad that that she made some time to speak with us on air today.
Yeah, absolutely. I like the fact that she said keep three topics in mind. Those are the three points you want to hit no matter what you're asked. Those are the three topics. And I think that's important for our attorney, which is coming up, because I got a lot of questions. I got like 20 topics I want to talk about.
Exactly. So we've got the attorney, Josh Schneiderman, on the phone. Josh, welcome back to Money Talk.
Hey, guys. Hey, thanks for having me on again. I appreciate it.
No, absolutely. Well, you know, last time we spoke to you, we spoke about franchising, and we had a great response. We had folks, you know, saying, hey, that's great information. I've been thinking about starting a franchise. I didn't know what was involved. And so it was incredibly, incredibly informative for our listeners. And so, you know, kind of using that as sort of a launching point, I wanted to get you back on the air, you know, to sort of expand, or maybe you know, this is sort of like the movies where they make the movie and then they make the prequel to the movie. So I wanted to have the prequel interview with you, which is, you know, what do small businesses need to do before they even get to that point to, you know, to start their business, and what are the common mistakes or pitfalls that are out there that they need to avoid? Because, you know, off air, Aaron and I were talking about past business ventures, and it is so funny how often we just jump in with both feet and don't really stop to think about the legal aspect of our business. You know, we're thinking we're going to go off and we're going to light the world on fire, make $1 million, and then we realize halfway into it, things are going so well, I need legal backup now. And so Josh, thank you for joining us again. And so before we get started, why don't you, you know, give us a little quick primer on your background, and then let's jump right into this.
Sure. Well, I am a corporate securities and franchising attorney. So I help startup companies through capital raising transactions, so issuing equity or debt, so bringing in money. I help set up franchise systems. And then as companies get larger, I represent them in purchase and sale transactions. So maybe the owners are selling their business, or maybe they're going to go acquire another business.
Yeah. Well, so what are, you know, we've talked about, you know, the issues that Aaron and I have had, generally speaking. What are the common pitfalls when a small business owner decides to, you know, to make it legit?
Yeah, well, you know, I think one of the most typical ones comes into play when you are involved in the capital raising process. So when you're starting a business and you're looking to bring in investors, and what a lot of people don't realize in that situation is that every time you bring in an investor who's going to buy stock or loan money to the company and get a note in return, they're selling a security. And a lot of people tend to think that these securities laws, you know, they hear about them when a company goes public and they do an IPO, and yeah, you've got to file something with the SEC. But what a lot of people don't realize is that every single time you sell stock or issue a note, you're selling a security, and you've got to comply with federal and state securities laws when you do that. And you know, the problem is that if you do it wrong, a buzzer's not going to go off. You're not going to know about it until the investor gets upset, or maybe the regulators get wind of it. So it's really important to have a good understanding of what the regulatory environment is when you're going to bring in an investor.
So
John, oh, I'm sorry. Well, let me ask this really quick, Aaron, because it's just burning up my tongue. Does it matter how big of a business you are when, you know, when these things apply, or is it just if I decide to start a little widget factory that's tiny, but I issue stock, do these federal and state laws also kick in, or are there size requirements?
Yeah, no, they apply every time that you're going to sell stock. Now, the good news is, I mean, you hear all the time about people going and raising money from friends and from family, and that happens all the time, and that's absolutely fine as long as you do it the right way. So what the federal securities laws say is every time you sell a security, you've got to register the offering of that security with the SEC. And usually when you think about a public company, that means filing a big, long document with the SEC that they take months and months to review. Well, when you have a small company and you're just raising money from friends and family, you can usually find an exemption from those laws, from the federal and state laws. But there are specific things that you need to do to adhere to the requirements of that exemption. And if you conduct your offering in an improper way and don't follow those rules, then you don't have a valid exemption, which means that you violated the securities laws. And the remedy for someone who bought a security from an issuer who didn't comply with securities laws is that your investor might be able to get his money back down the road. And you don't want to be in that position. Having taken money in, maybe things aren't going phenomenally well for the company. You hit a couple bumps in the road, and all of a sudden you've got an investor pounding at your door saying, hey, you made a mistake a couple months ago, and I'm entitled to my money back.
I like what you brought out about, you know, again, getting the investors, because there's nothing better than getting a good investor if you have all of your ducks in a row. So many investors get hit up by people that have an idea and they don't have the legal representation to get that moving forward. I recently heard, you know, even on crowdfunding platforms, even though they've raised like $100,000, there's tax implications on that $100,000 still. Now, you give tax, you know, how do people go about getting good tax advice?
Well, you do want to, so it, taking it from the perspective of, let's say, an investor or maybe an employee of a startup company that's going to get equity, you want to talk with a CPA and possibly an attorney about the tax implications of the structure of your investment. And I'll give you a really good example. If you are, let's call it the CEO of a company, of a startup company, and the company gives you equity in exchange for your services, but that equity is subject to vesting. So you don't actually own all of your rights in that stock aren't vested until, call it, you know, 3 or 4 years pass. Well, if you're given equity in that structure as the CEO of a company, the default rule is that the IRS doesn't think that you own the stock until the vesting restrictions lapse. So there's an IRS code provision that will allow you to basically make an election with the IRS to be taxed on that equity grant on the date that you receive it. And in the context of a startup company, that's great, because when you're appointed the CEO of a startup company that has very little value, when you tell the IRS, okay, I am going to actually elect to be taxed on the date that I receive that grant rather than when it vests, you're paying tax on next to no income on the date of grant, and then your gains when you sell the stock down the road are treated as capital gains, as opposed to being taxed on the equity grant 3 years down the road when the stock vests and the company may be worth several million dollars. Well, at that point, you're paying ordinary income tax on the equity that you received when you could have paid capital gains on that differential. So having good tax advice and understanding, you know, how you can use it to your advantage and make certain elections with the IRS could really save you a lot of money in the long run when you're an investor in a company.
Now, you know, we hear all the time when we talk to small business owners how so many of them are what we refer to as a DBA, or doing business as. And you know, every time I hear one of these small business owners tell me, you know, I'm set up as a DBA, I cringe because of the liability issues that follow you as a DBA. You know, would you agree with that, with that sentiment? And if so, you know, what for a typical small business owner, what is a recommended ownership structure or entity structure that you would recommend? You know, LLC, LLP, partnership. I mean, what is it that you generally what is that you generally encourage these small business owners to do?
Well, you hit the nail on the head, which is the most important thing is that you get a legal entity in place, because without the legal entity, you don't have any shield from personal liability, and all of your personal assets can be at risk in the event that the business incurs some liability. So it is critical to put a legal entity in place. Now, the form that that legal entity takes, be it an LLC, be it a corporation, be it a C corp or an S corp, depends on a number of factors. It depends on, you know, what your long-term objectives are. Sometimes if you want to bring in institutional investors, they're only permitted to invest in a C corp, depending on you know what their organizational structure is and what their fund documentation provides. But there may be tax advantages in setting up as a limited liability company or an S corp. So there are that's really something that's kind of dealt with on a one-on-one basis, given the individual circumstances of the company. And it's really important to talk to a CPA and attorney about that. But the most important thing is that you set up a legal entity. And a limited liability company or a corporation will provide you the same level of protection in terms of having that insurance protection that having a legal entity affords. You do not want to go about operating a business as a DBA.
That's what okay, good. So, and I don't even have a law advice or a law degree. So there you go, Aaron.
Yeah, it's cheap insurance. It's definitely cheap insurance. You want to do it, and it's not very expensive to form an entity and keep it in place.
That's great. So, Josh, if someone wants some advice or wants to hire you to help them set up their structure, how would they get in touch with you?
Sure. Well, they can reach me by email, and my email address is jschneiderman, jschneiderman, at swlaw.com. Or they can call me on the phone at 213-929-2545.
Excellent. Well, Josh Schneiderman, the new Money Talk attorney, it seems like. Thank you for joining us on Money Talk again today. This was incredibly informative. I know so many of our small businesses out there, particularly those that may not have gone to the trouble yet of setting up a legal entity. Hopefully they're running to the phones to give you a call to get some advice. But in any event, thank you again for joining us on Money Talk.
Hey, thank you guys. I appreciate it.